We're up to Mem Aleph. We learned Mem at the last moment of our last share, which is page 98. The Chaver had just finished explaining the fallacy of the Kuzari, of the Karoim, and in doing so had established, as we said, that there were three periods in the Messiah. What Moshe Rabbeinu gave us from Sinai, what was given to us by Nevi'im and Sanhedrin in the Eretz Yisrael period of our history, and what came subsequently during the period after the Nevuah ceased. In Mem, the Kuzari turned to the Chaver, who had just persuaded him that the Karoim were wrong in offering new interpretations of the Torah. And Omer HaKuzari, Yechitokein Zeh, Loi Saisif Olav, Loi Sigram Yimenu. So how is it then that things were added by the Rabbanan over the periods of time, if you finish telling me and rejecting the Karoim that you think should not be added? So by what right did Chazal have a right to add to the, not only to add things like Purim and Chanukah, but to add interpretations of Torah if it says Loi Saisif Olav Sigram Yimenu? Now, this question is not a unique question to the Kuzari. The question of how Rabbanon can add, by what right they have a right to add new rulings, is something that's discussed by Rishayim. But his answer is, I think, is unique. In Mem Aleph, he says the following: Amar Achaver, Lo Yidemar Zeh Ela LaHamayin. The commandment Lo Yisaisif Olav Lo Yisigram Yimenu is a reference to the individuals of Klal Yisrael, so that they shouldn't come up with new ideas based on their own wisdom, on their own thinking, and they'll make each person for his own Torah from their own
reasoning.
Right. I think from the things that are difficult, from the kashes, from the difficulty. The comparison. Okay. They should create a new Torah. And the Hamayin is commanded to learn from the Nevi'im after the passing of Moshe, from the Kainim, the Shaiftim, Kabashamar, Navi, Okum Lahem, Mikarav, Achachal Kamaicha. The Torah says that there are those that will come later. So obviously the Nevi'im will pass something down. And obviously if the Torah commands that we listen to the words of our Nevi'im and Kohanim, so there must be that they're going to add something to Torah. So Chaim, you can pass the Kuzari back to the
Menashe. Yeah.
Behind you. But we're on page 99. Okay. Vahaya Mamarai. That you can't add to Torah. Torah includes what Moshe Rabbeinu taught and what the Nevi'im who followed him taught. And whatever was gathered as an addition to Torah at the Sanhedrin, which is the Mokka Mashiachar Hashem, Nishnei Shehem Nezorim Bishchina. Okay, now here he goes to explain what he's saying. What he said till now is that there's a license for the Sanhedrin and Chachamim, Nevi'im, to add to Torah.
What license does Nevi'im have to add to Torah?
The license is the words in the Torah that say, Navi Akam Lemekar Chach Kamaicha. So we explained that the Navi Rishay Chadish Navi Me'ata is something that the Navi is Mechadesh because B'Nevuah something is added to Teres Moshe. But the Pulpulim that are based on Teres Moshe, you're allowed. Now, that's what he explained earlier. The idea of, the question is, what about the Pasuk Lo Yisei Sifu? So he's saying this Chiddush, Lo Yisei Sifu applies only to the Hamayin Am, and not to that which is excluded by the Pasuk in the Torah, which gives the right to Sanhedrin to add. Mm-hmm. Now here he explains the following idea. Now it's a little tricky. Let's these last two lines on page 99. Lo yitochin lavra aleihem. She has kimu b'davar shechaylik al ha'tayra. It will never happen that these members of the Sanhedrin will do something that argues on the Torah, ba'avar rubam, when they base their psak on their rive. Now this needs to be explained. We have no such concept of infallibility of any of the chachamim. There's no idea that a chacham can't make a mistake. Even the God Ladar, there's no concept that he can't make a mistake. A nevuah that comes from a God is correct. There's no, it can't be an error. And therefore, when he says leisaver aleihem atos lachachmasam rachava, that they won't make mistakes because of their wide wisdom, so it needs to be explained. So I'd like to explain this line, the way the Kol Yehuda explains it, mostly on the next page. He explains the following. There's a wisdom which is passed down, and there's a wisdom which a person has by teva, his own nature. There are two types of wisdom in Torah. One is the wisdom hayirusha, the wisdom which comes down. The Torah as it's handed down to us with its rules in the Chiddush HaTorah. And then there's what he calls the tibiyas haknuya, the natural wisdom that human beings have, the intellect of a person. So he's saying that we feel comfortable that there won't be an error when a decision comes from the two together. And this doesn't come based on the Messiah that we have, including tibiyas haknuya, including our own nature, kasha kiblu, kol ki hasanhedrin yimitzul nadas kol hachachmais. To be a member of a Sanhedrin, you have to know all the wisdom. You have to know, in general, they have to know the sciences, they have to know the languages. Now what this means is certainly they knew what had been handed down by Nevuah from previous generations. Whatever else came down to us from other forms of Ruach HaKodesh.
Is he saying the Sanhedrin cannot make a mistake?
So he's saying the Sanhedrin cannot make a mistake.
Well, we know there's a carbon that's brought when they make a mistake.
We know there's a carbon that's brought when they make a mistake. Okay, so it's true. The Sanhedrin, in theory at least, could make a mistake. So the first of all, the Sanhedrin brings a carbon when their error is a mistake in what was handed down, not in their logic. Mistakes can happen. We have no doctrine of infallibility, but the carbon is brought when the mistake contradicts a piece of Messiah. Something that's what he called the Chochmas HaYerusha. Chochmas comes out in Yerusha. So the carbon itself is actually in that case. But there is an interesting Machlekes Rishayim. The Pasuk says, Laisasar min hadavar sheyegidu l'cha yamin usmail. That when the Sanhedrin comes along and they say something, you have to listen to them, yamin usmail, right or left. So Rashi says, afilu al yamin shu smail, afilu al smail shu yamin. That even if Sanhedrin says your right hand is your left hand, you have to follow. Now how are we to understand those words? Now, those words are not Rashi's. Rashi's just quoting from Divrei Chazal. Now, there's a tremendous spread in two understandings of what Chazal mean. There are those who understand that if Chazal tell you your right hand is your left hand is your right hand, assume that they're right and that you're wrong. And since they're right and you're wrong, we have this possibility they can make a mistake. But we always live our lives based on the odds. Every time a person does anything, when you invest in a stock or you agree to marry somebody, whatever you do, you're taking chances. There's no, it's a very powerful moment. I had a young man in my shir who was very close to him. He was a shir for 3-4 years. He got engaged. He was engaged over a summer. And coincidentally, on the flight on the way back, I was with his future father-in-law and found out that his collar was having great doubts. He was clueless. I mean, he was unaware of it. It wasn't anything he did wrong. And about 6 weeks before the wedding, she called him and ended the engagement. So life went on. So it took another year, maybe, 3/4 of a year, and he got engaged. And the night before he got engaged, the day before, he comes to me in yeshiva, and he says to me, how do I know this is not going to happen again? So I smiled at him, and I said, you don't. You don't know it's not going to happen again. A person, God forbid, who crosses the street and gets hit by a car, he recovers, is going to cross the street again. How does he know it's not going to happen again? You don't. We live our lives based on the things that seem to be the logical things to do. We compute, our brains are computers that compute the odds of things, the benefit against the risk, and that's how we live our lives. So the first approach is that Ali Minshu's smile is a statement that you assume they're right. You get up in the morning, you walk out, you assume that there's nobody with a machine gun shooting up the street. You make certain assumptions. It's not infallible, but the assumption is that it's correct. So if they tell you right hand is your left hand, it must be that you're making some kind of mistake. There's a second approach, though. The second approach, these are all in the Rishonim al Chumash. The second approach says, no. Afilo al Yeminsru smile means when you know for certain they're wrong. If Sanhedrin paskin something, and let's say it's possible to know for certain, they tell you your right hand is your left hand. You just know it's not that way. But the reason for it is that there needs to be a system. Anything that's beyond an individual has to work with a system. Klal Yisrael needs a system. There's a system. The Torah gives us a system of judging. That we have a Sanhedrin, however the Sanhedrin is appointed. And Klal Yisrael follows what they say. And we follow what they say, whatever they say. Not because when they say my right hand is my left hand, I have to believe that it's my left hand. But because it's worth it. It's the benefit of the greater good is to follow it all the time. And there's a tremendous difference between the two approaches. One approach is to say, no, I'm wrong, they're right. The other one is to say, well, I know I'm right, but what choice do I have? Now, this is what would happen if two witnesses come to the Besdin? And they say that this animal, which was reshechted, is not kosher. That they saw in the shochet, instead of slicing the neck, he chopped. Now, these two witnesses, I know them. They're angry at me. And they told me, I'm going to get you. I'm going to go to Besdin. I'm going to make your meat treif. And they went to Besdin. And they did. They did what they threatened. They said, it's not Besdin. They asked them questions. They interrogated them. And they ended up, a psak, it's treif. This meat is nevela. If someone eats it, we're giving him malchus. So now I go home. And there I am with the nevela in my house. Am I allowed to, I guess I would pull the blinds and make sure no one's looking. Am I allowed to eat that meat? I know with certainty that the psak of the Besdin is in error because they were fooled. They were fooled by two witnesses that lied to them. So it depends on the approach that you take on afilo al yamin shusma, aval shmal shu yamin. If you learn that the first way, that the Torah tells me I have to assume I'm making a mistake and they're right. Well, in a case where I know that they were fooled, I'm not saying that I'm smarter than them. I'm just saying I know exactly what happened. In that case, I can eat the meat. I can hope and eat the meat because my only obligation to follow them is on the assumption that they are right and I am wrong. So if they tell me right, it's my left hand, I assume that I'm making some kind of mistake. But if I know they were fooled, so then that's not a psak, I can go home and eat it. If you go with the second approach says that even if they're wrong, Klal Yisrael needs a system. We have a system. The system is Besdin Paskins, and we follow the psak of Besdin. We can't go to the Navi every time, we don't have Navua. And therefore, there has to be a system. That system would require me to not eat the bus and the vela, to follow the rules. They're rules, and I have to follow the rules. So that's that's basically the dispute. The famous last speech of Aristotle was basically the second approach, right? Aristotle's conviction, he was sentenced to death, and even though it was unjust, he made his last speech saying that Socrates' last speech was this idea that Plato wrote it, so Socrates must have said it. It was this speech. They gave him the opportunity to run away. He said, no, I live my life believing in the rule of law. And if the court said that I'm sentenced to death, then I have to die. That was that was his, I mean, he did it. You know, he drank the hemlock and that was the end of his life. So he basically went with the second approach. Now I can't tell you which approach is right or which is wrong, because Chazal have two ways to understand. But the second approach is a rough one. It's tough. It seems to be anti-intellectual. It's saying that it's one thing to say I'm probably wrong, they're probably right. It's another thing to say I know I'm right, I know they were fooled, but I have to follow the rules. There are people like that. You know, people who don't cross the street when there's a red light. There are really people like that. You know, I understand that the red light is so you shouldn't get hurt, but there are no cars. Why not cross?
Kind of split the difference. You say that if they pass the channel was trade, you know, it's not. You say, I can eat it, but I couldn't give it to somebody else.
I could give it to someone else. If he knows, it's said Edrin Paskin, then it's also, I could. The question is, if I can eat it myself, can I give it to another person? There's a Shar HaMelech. The Shar HaMelech declares the following Shaila, which is somewhat akin to this. There's a rule of Shavya Anaf Sheikhatich Surah,
yeah.
Which means to say that, let's say, someone else has meat. And I say his meat is treif. I know it's treif. I have no nemanis. I'm one witness. Eirech Adem Bisurin doesn't apply to someone else's food. I believe that my food, I'm not believe what they can't say his food is treif. I say his food is treif. So Bezdin Paskins that I'm not allowed to eat it. Because if I made the statement that the food is treif, I'm bound by my own statement, whatever the logic, the love this is. I'm bound by my own statement, and therefore I can't eat it. Other people could eat it. So Shar HaMelech declares, am I allowed to give it to other people to eat? On the one hand, they're allowed to eat it. I'm just not allowed to eat it. On the other hand, I'm obligated to follow my own words, which stated that the meat is treif, in which case I wouldn't be allowed to give it to others. Because my own words say I'm not allowed to give it to other people. So the Shar HaMelech says that it depends on how you interpret Lifnei Iver L'Asitei Mechshol. If Lifnei Iver is a sin to make him do something wrong, or whether it's me doing something wrong. I'm not allowed to be a participant to an eating of treifus, or is it that I can't cause someone else to do an aver? If it's causing someone else to do an aver, I can give it to him. If it's that I can't be a participant, so since I said it's treif, I can't be a participant. It would be something similar, I think, to the question. At any rate, getting back to the Kuzari, this is his idea. Well, in Socrates, the only difference was that in Greece, in Athens, the way the courts worked is that there was a jury of peers, but the jury was anybody who wanted it. 10,000 people could come. So if you hated someone, you just stacked the jury. In that aspect, there's no difference. There's no difference between Socrates and us. I don't know what you mean. If the question is, does a cloud follow the rule of law? Then it's true. It applies everywhere. It applies to the Eskimos too. It applies everywhere. The difference between the Sanhedrin and Athens was the Sanhedrin are people chosen for their both their character and their wisdom. And Socrates in Greece was not chosen based on that. Okay? So the systems are different. But the idea of following the rule of law, you're right, they're all the same. It's all the same. Alright, so, okay, I guess we'll still here in the middle. The next thing he talks about is arguing with the Karaites about making Shavuos on Sunday. But I guess we'll keep you in suspense again.